Welcome to the D-Pad. I'm your host, as always, Adam. And joining me today is Isaac and Kevin. Say hello.
Hey. Hello again, I guess.
Okay, so our first topic today is console hopping. It's definitely something that goes on every day. Anybody who's been on GameFAQs, I'm sure you've seen the various topics that say stuff along the lines of, "Oh, well, I just got my 360, so I'm retiring from the Wii because I'm that good. So I'm going to hop over to my 360 and never pick up my Wii again." For those who don't know, that is the concept of console hopping. So, who wants to pick this up first?
I guess, well, I could start.
All right.
Well, part of the reason, I think, is that they might have friends that have the system. Like, when I first got my PlayStation, like, I originally started with a Wii, but I picked up a PlayStation because that's what all my friends were playing. I wouldn't say I console hopped to the PlayStation, since I still regularly play the Wii and everything, but I think that could be a big factor in why they might console hop to a different system.
I see your point, but like, I don't really consider that to be console hopping, like you said. I mean, that's kind of just like, you have a PS3 and it's just kind of there, you know. Like, I would consider console hopping to just be like, well, I just got a new system, I'm going to throw this one in the closet and never pick it up again. You know what I mean? Like, it's one thing to have several different systems and to play them, but you don't, like, you favor your first system over your second system. Like, you favor the Wii over the PS3.
Well, it was the opposite when I first got it, though. Like, when I first got my PlayStation, that was basically all I was playing, to the point where I was, like, neglecting the Wii a pretty good amount until, like, later on when the shift kind of slowly started to switch back over.
Oh, okay. Well, what about you, Kevin?
Are you talking about the whole thing with Isaac?
No, just generality.
Oh. So, mainly, I think, like, one of the reasons is probably graphics. Because, like, somebody might get, like, a 360 or something. They have, like, a Wii. And it's like, they got it because the graphics are in HD. Or they just want, like, better-looking games or something.
But do you really think that's it? Like, I mean, if you think about the amount of people who actually jump from system to system, they're usually younger and they don't completely grasp what goes into a game, you know what I mean? Like, they don't necessarily understand that the Wii doesn't have as good as graphics as, say, the 360, but, I mean, does that really concentrate as being the reason behind it?
I'm not saying it's, like, the main reason, it's just, like, a reason. There's, like, other stuff to pretty much add to that. Like, maybe they got a 360 because, like, the other consoles they had didn't have games that interest them. Like, they didn't want to play, Wii Sports or Super Smash Bros. Brawl or something. But they want to play, like, Call of Duty or Killzone on, like, the PlayStation 3 or something. You get what I mean?
Yeah, I get exactly what you mean. This is how I kind of look at it. It's console hopping is just like, you know, it's something that goes back to sports. You see it all the time in sports. You see one team says wins a championship, and people who normally wouldn't go for the team decide that that team is the best because, of course, they just won a championship. So they jump from their former team to now this championship team, and because they are assuming that it is the best. Secondly, I think stupidity is kind of behind this.
And ignorance.
Yeah, and people being spoiled.
Stupidity.
I also think it has to do with kids being spoiled, too. You know, like, oh, well, I want this, I want this, I want this. And it really kind of boils down to how people can never really truly be happy with what they have. You know, like, you want to make the argument that, yeah, okay, well, the Wii doesn't have good graphics. Yeah, but it has motion control. And, like, I understand that now you could kind of say that, well, the PlayStation has Move and the 360s has Kinect. But before all that, people were making the argument that, well, the Wii doesn't have good graphics, the PS3 has good graphics, but the Wii has motion control. And the Wii still has better motion control than Move does.
And Kinect by far.
But, yeah. But you see my point, right? Like, they can never be happy with what they have.
Yeah. I see your point with the second one, but I sort of disagree with your first point.
Well, how so?
Well, like, you were saying, like, they're going to, like, when you made the sports analogy, when you're saying they're just going to, like, the better team that just won the championship. If you look at it that way, I would think you would tend to see more hopping towards the Wii, as it has, like, the most sales, and if by that definition it's sort of winning the championship, you could say, between the three consoles.
Well, I mean, I guess the analogy kind of went the wrong way. What I meant was is that, like, it's all opinionated best, you know what I mean? Like,
it's
best in the minds of other people. So, like, say your friends, like you said, your friends had this system. So all you constantly hear is that the system is better than the one you currently have. And you hear it all the time, you hear it all the time. Eventually, it sticks in your mind. That idea is planted. You know, it grows. Well, maybe it really is. You start questioning whether or not the system you currently have is truly, you know, a downgraded version of what your friends have. Well,
yeah.
Now, it's, okay, well, now that one's better than mine. So now I want that one because that's what they think. It's almost like a... You kind of, like, some people go with the crowd. Like, it's kind of even goes back to whether or not, like, you can bring up the hardcore gaming topic. Well, do hardcore gamers actually play the Wii? Yes.
I would say yes.
But a lot of people like to say that the 360 and the PS3 were developed specifically for hardcore gamers who like to play competitive.
Well, it was certainly developed more for competitive play than the Wii, someone could argue. Because the Wii really does not have, like, a well-developed online play servers, really.
Absolutely.
At this time.
Nor will they until Nintendo makes the new system. Yeah. But... I just think that, like you guys were saying, that it kind of is ignorance. And as somebody who works in the media, people believe what you tell them. Especially if it's coming from a source where it's looked upon as being professional. A good example, if you're watching the weather, and the weather specialist says that tomorrow it's going to rain. And they don't even need to show you anything, but they just say, well, tomorrow it's going to rain. You believe them, right?
Yeah, probably.
So, logically, if you have somebody say, just for example, for the sake of this, say IGN just says that the PlayStation 3 is the superior console, it's better than the other two, and that everyone should buy the system. Most of those people who are not educated, who do not understand the concept that actually goes behind consoles and what they bring to the table in depth, are actually going to believe that the PS3 is therefore the superior console. Right? Like, that makes sense, right?
Like, the hardcore IGN, like, followers, I think would probably tend to, like, look at that and then probably sway their opinion a lot.
Yeah. And, like I said before, like, you see a lot of kids do that. So, I mean, if a kid is easy manipulated, so if you were to present that information and say that it is better, well, fuck this, I want a PS3. You know what I mean?
But yeah.
Anybody else have any clothing thoughts on that? Crazy.
On the whole IGN thing that you were talking about?
No, like console hopping.
Well, not really. Is that people aren't pleased with everything. It's like you're always going to have complainers. It's like nothing is perfect.
As much as we want it to be. But, and Rad, any closing thoughts?
Not really.
All right, well, keeping on the console topic, how do you guys feel about games that are only released to one console? Do you think it's a good idea, or do you think it's a bad idea?
Well, it really depends on what the game is. If it's, like, mainly a first-party title, like Mario or something, then...
Well, yeah, let's start with this. Before we get into anything more elaborate, yeah, let's stick with first-party titles. No. And go from there. Okay, well, I'll start first.
Okay.
Since no one's jumping up the gun. For the most part, I think it's a good idea. I can't imagine seeing Mario on 360 or Master Chief on the Wii. You know, I think it's truly what defines a system. Like, you remember those characters and those games for that specific console. If you kind of take that away, then... you're kind of beating the purpose of having just a first, like a singular title to a system. You can make the argument that developers might not be able to make as much money by doing this, you know, by not being on several different consoles. But you wouldn't have as dedicated fans as you would if you were just on one console. You would have, possibly you'd sell more copies, but would your fan base be as strong? Probably not. It's one of the reasons we love our systems, right? I mean, you love them for the games. You love... like, when you think of Nintendo, you think of Mario, and you think of Donkey Kong, and you think of Link, and you think of Metroid. You think of all those games that you played through growing up as a kid. And then you think of PlayStation, and, like, the first thing that pops into my mind is Grand Theft Auto, before it jumped over to the 360. And then you think of all the games that are on the 360. Halo, Gears of War. That's truly what I believe defines a system, is the certain games that are truly just released for only that console.
But mainly with those games, is like those... it's like Mario and Zelda and all that. That's established for Nintendo. Those are going to sell no matter what.
Well, yeah, but would it sell if it was on another system?
Probably.
Yeah, probably.
I mean, but... it's like Mario. It's like he's well known. He's like a video game icon.
Well, yeah. But here's my question. Well, it's not a question necessarily, but if you were to release it on several different consoles, when you start doing that, now you're competing with other games. Like you're making your competition a lot heavier. So if you were to release, you know, Halo onto the PlayStation, now it's competing with Fallout, right? For the same type of game. And they're virtually almost the same game. So now you're trying to steal an audience from an area that's already familiar with one type of game.
So what you mean is like, if you put like a platformer that's mainly on one system and put it on another system, that means that it's competing with the other platformers on the system that was put on, right?
Yes.
I kind of see your point there. But, like, if you look at, like, Halo... Okay, if you take Halo 3, exclusive game just for the Xbox 360. Obviously, it's PC. Done very well. Well, not counting PC. Okay. But, obviously, it's done very well. It's, like, Xbox 360 alone, it's sold over 100 million copies of the game. But, like, take another game, like... one that is in competition with it, Modern Warfare 2, for all the systems, which has also done, like, quite well, reaching over 7 million sales alone on the first day. Like, what I'm, so, like, a game exclusively can do very well. Like, Halo 3 has obviously proved that, but, like, on every console, it seems like it's able to sort of surpass that if it's a well-made game or popular.
But I think when you start doing that, you're kind of getting into the grounds. Like, I remember reading an article that Activision was saying that eventually what they think that developers should just do is create a console of their own. So Activision would just have their own console rather than supporting the big three, as we could call them. Like, if you're starting, I understand your point completely. It makes complete sense. Well, if Halo does so well on the Xbox, you know it's going to do well on the PlayStation, and you know that it would do well on the Wii. But people buy, like we were just talking about this, people buy a system for the game sometimes. Like, I remember when the 360 was just released. When it was released however long ago, people wanted it because they wanted the games that were being released on it. People aren't going to buy Kinect. Like, most of the people who have a 360 aren't going to buy Kinect. But when you start releasing it with the 360, they're like, shit, man, I want the fucking Kinect. Well, now they're going to buy Kinect for the 360. And in turn, get the 360. People bought the Wii because of the motion controls. I mean, yeah, that's kind of different. But yeah, exactly.
I know a number of people that have just bought the Wii for just Wii Sports, so I see your point there.
Like, I don't think... And when you want to make the point, like, yeah, you can release it on several different consoles. But the problem there is for the Wii, for example, Modern Warfare 2 will never see the light of day on the Wii. Hell, we were lucky just to get Modern Warfare. And even that was changed from the original. So, I mean, yeah, it did well. But now you get into the grounds of secluding systems. Like, that was definitely seen for War for Cybertron. The PlayStation 3 and the 360 both got the original game, and so did the PC. But when
DS.
The DS was different. The DS was split up into two different games, kind of like Pokemon, how you have Red and Blue. You had Decepticon and Autobot. Like that's different. Like, I can understand that. That's a handheld game. Mm-hmm. So that's a whole different matter, like. But for the Wii, they made it a completely different game. Like, Activision allowed a different company to develop the game rather than the same.
And then they changed the name.
And it was a completely separate game. But it was part of the same franchise. Like, the storyline completely intertwined with War for Cybertron, to the point where a person playing the game wouldn't even understand the direct storyline. It's like a subplot of the actual game.
Cybertron Adventures.
Yeah,
is what the game is called.
So now you're getting into, well, yeah, you can release it on several different platforms and several different consoles, but it might not be the same quality of game that you would have if you just released it for one system. You know what I mean? Like, for example, if you released Mario on a 360 or a PS3, the video quality would be a lot different. Like, then you get into the grounds of, well, now we can kind of fiddle with it because we have the graphic capabilities to change Mario.
We have the technology.
Yeah, they're, you know, he's the $1 million man if you put him onto another console. Like, they could change him. And would that change be for the better? Probably not.
Like, think Bomberman.
I don't think I'd like to see a realistic looking Mario. It'd be pretty ugly in my mind.
You'd end up being like a gross Italian.
Be pretty creepy looking. Like, I'm imagining him sort of as a pedophile right now, just going around with mushrooms and a wrench. It's just not a good image.
Rape gloves. Always has those gloves on. Doesn't leave any fingerprints. But, I mean, that's where it gets to, right? I mean, you just... I can't grasp my mind around having... those rememberable characters on a different platform.
But about the whole, like, multi-platform games or whatnot, it's like, this is something else we could talk about. What do you think about, like, a game like Call of Duty coming out for the PS3 and 360, but one version having exclusive downloadable content? Or exclusive timed downloadable content just for that system for a set amount of time.
I think something like that's just a money grab. Like, it's just, we're getting to the point where Activision, for example, sees that they can make money by releasing, like, exclusive. Oh, well, if we make this exclusive, they're cutting a deal with whatever console it is. So, say that they make a deal with Sony. Well, we'll make sure that when we release this game on there, that it will only... the PlayStation is going to be the only system that's going to be allowed to have downloadable content.
Until a certain date.
Okay, yeah. First, up until... You'll have it first, and then we'll release it everywhere else. It's a money grab. It's a way for the consoles, it would be a way for Sony to get more people to buy a PlayStation, because it almost seems like they're being favored in terms of development. Well, if you have a PS3, you'll get first dibs on, packs and all the downloadable stuff.
Right now, though, that's sort of like the opposite of what's happening, since Xbox is really the one that's getting the stuff first compared to PlayStation 3, which is behind it.
Well, it's just a hypothetical statement.
Yeah. Mainly an example. But
I mean, like, for Activision, that's how it is right now.
That's pretty much how it is.
Well, that's why, I mean, you have... like, you have just strictly developers who aren't owned by a company. Like, they don't kind of devote themselves to that said company. Activision is an example of that. They're just a developer. Bungie, which is now owned by Activision. But before that, they were just their own development company and dealt strictly with just Halo, which is 360 exclusive. So it just kind of seems like now Activision's buying up. I mean, this is completely off topic, but it seems like Activision's just kind of burying their hands into exclusive companies, so that way they can, get in on that money too.
I mean, with them acquiring Bungie, that doesn't mean that they that Activision has the Halo license, because that's what Microsoft has.
Well, yeah, yeah, I know that. I wasn't insisting that they were going to be able to move Halo to other consoles. But now, that could be a light that might get shined down. It's probably something that won't happen, but I mean, now that they own the company, it wouldn't be unrealistic to think that they could kind of weasel a deal to get it done.
Or at least something very similar.
Yeah. So, yeah, I just don't know. I think that it's a good idea. It's like a balance, right? Like, I think you need a mix of both. Like, you need games that are just exclusive. Because it's kind of like why you have a system, like I said before. Like, you buy it for those games. Because only that system has it. Like, having games like Call of Duty come out, like, yeah, it's a bonus. Like, I mean, it's probably one of the reasons that people buy systems. But, I mean, it's not like, you're not, when you get a game like Call of Duty, it's not, well, now I want to go buy that, you know, 360 because they have Call of Duty when I have a PS3. But you can make the argument, well, I want to go buy a 360 because they have Gears of War. Right? You see my argument there?
Yeah, I see where you're getting at.
So, I think it's just something that kind of goes up in the air. It's not like a... It's a personal preference, I mean, really.
But, this is what I just see the problem with, like, exclusive downloadable content or whatever. It's like, I know that it's just to boost sales for, like, the certain console or the certain console version of, like, the Call of Duty game or whatever. But wouldn't it be better to just have the downloadable content on both, and have them both sell as much as they could?
Well, the point that you're missing is that both content, the downloadable content is on both systems, only it reaches one first.
Well, I know that, but it's just that if they were both on... If the downloadable content was available on both, like, immediately or whatever, then it wouldn't affect one version's sales as compared to the other.
Well, the reason Activision actually does that is because they're getting money from Microsoft so that all new exclusives and stuff go to them first. And then after a while, they're allowed to be released on the PlayStation.
And you know what else probably played into that is, once again, the deal that they made with Bungie. Well, now they're in. They're in with the company. They're in with Microsoft. They found their in with Bungie, and now they're there. Well, we'll make you this deal. You give us a little bit of money, and we'll make sure that you guys get all the exclusives first. I guarantee you your sales will boost, and then, you know, after 2 or 3 weeks, well, you know, we'll release it everywhere else. But we'll make sure that all the people that use your console will get it first. It's a marketing ploy. And it's a good marketing ploy. Should it happen? No. I mean, if Activision, if you are listening to me right now, stop being pussies and dicks and start releasing shit on the Wii. For all our listeners who haven't checked in yet, we all play the Wii. We're not trying to be biased, but, I mean, come on. You know they should be releasing shit on the Wii just as much as every other console.
We're gamers, too.
Yeah. We're hardcore gamers just as much as everyone else, just because we don't use dual joysticks. And shooting on our console actually takes skill. But that's besides the point.
But didn't the whole Activision Bungie thing pretty much happen because of the whole Infinity Ward lawsuit thing?
I think that might have been something that played into it, but I don't think you can make the argument that, oh, well, we lost Infinity War. They only made Call of Duty. Hey, I know. Let's go buy up Bungie instead. I don't think you can make that argument. I think they were planning on buying Bungie to begin with. It just so happened that the whole thing with Infinity Ward happened, so they just saw the opportunity and took it. I think that's what it was.
I don't know. It just could have been a reason. That's what I think, anyway. It's like, well, Bungie makes Halo, which is an FPS, or a first-person shooter. It's like, maybe eventually...
But Bungie doesn't make anything else.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, but...
Besides Halo Wars.
I don't think they made Halo Wars. I think a different company made that.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, actually, you might be right there, because I remember hearing about how it started off as a different RTS game, and then they were just like, hey, this is pretty good.
Yeah, it was made by Ensemble Studios.
And you just looked that up, didn't you?
No. I knew that.
Of course you did. But what I was mainly getting at was that, I mean, like, since they have Bungie now, and Bungie makes Halo, which is like a first-person shooter, and like they have experience with first-person shooters, maybe they can have them make a new Call of Duty or something.
I definitely see your point, but I don't think they'll... I mean, right now they're kind of handing over the reins to Treyarch. I mean, let's face it, both World at War and Modern Warfare both had their flaws and they both had their advantages. Now that Treyarch has worked with Infinity Ward, they know how to formulate and fix what they didn't have in World at War, they'll be able to make Black Ops a good game. And I don't think that they're ever going to have Bungie make Call of Duty. But I wouldn't be surprised if they, get Bungie to make a new type of game. I mean, they already said that this is the last Halo. Reach was it. That's it. There's nothing else.
If you believe that.
Yeah, well, whether or not they hold true on that is another story, but, I mean...
Sequel 10 years into the future.
Halo Reach 2, The Return of Master Chief. And, I don't know. It's, a lot of things play into it, but, anyways, but that was completely off topic. But you all enjoyed it, so...
A little bit off topic.
But, so we will, does anybody have closing thoughts?
No, not really.
Okay.
Do you know how I know you're gay? Because you are holding each other ever so gently.
That, of course, means it's time for This Week in Gaming. StarCraft II hit store shelves after a 12-year absence. Mike Morhaime, CEO and co-founder of Blizzard, said they've worked hard to deliver an epic continuation of the StarCraft storyline, as well as the ultimate competitive real-time strategy game. Sticking with MMOs, DC Universe Online released a cinematic trailer at Comic-Con. The trailer revealed that the possible future could bring if the heroes and villains don't work together. On the plus side, you get to watch Batman get beat like a piñata. If you haven't seen it, look it up. With November quickly approaching, Activision has announced that Call of Duty Black Ops will make its way onto the DS. The game will feature 6-player online multiplayer mode with a new perk system, as well as a unique 2-player co-op mode. An arcade and challenge mode will allow gamers to replay single-player to earn extra points to unlock additional achievements. Street Fighter X Tekken was announced at Comic-Con this week. The game will be made available on the PS3 and Xbox 360. The game will run on a Super Street Fighter 4 engine. This may come as good or bad news for RPG players. Wii's Tales of Graces is being ported to the PS3. The 360's Tales of Vesperia was previously ported to the console as well. The question at hand now is whether or not the game will be released in English. I'm Adam Ward for This Week in Gaming. To stay on the topic of first-person shooters, I got a question for you guys. Do you think killstreaks and perks do justice to first-person shooter games, and whether or not they are truly necessary, and if they make the gameplay better?
Well, they certainly add to the gameplay experience.
For the better or for the worse?
Well, I guess that really depends on the game. I mean, it's like for Call of Duty, it's like you have killstreaks and perks. With killstreaks, it's like you get a certain number of kills and you get a certain bonus that you can use to help yourself or your teammates get some kills. But in other ways, they can be spammed, which gets people complaining about that. And then with perks, it's like they can enhance like what you're able to do, like more armor, more health, stronger bullets, stronger grenades. And then I like the fact that they usually have opposites, like one has like more health and one does like more bullet damage, so those would cancel each other out. And any other thoughts?
My point of view is similar but yet different. I think killstreaks and perks are kind of like a blessing in a sin. Sometimes it can make the game more competitive, but let's face it, it's not a necessity. You look back at games, shooting games from the past, and, I mean, did it really, for them not to be in the game, like you look at games like GoldenEye and Perfect Dark, they didn't have killstreaks and they didn't have perks. And those were the foundations to what we have today. At the same time, killstreaks are, like you said, they're overused and they can be abused, and chaining is the biggest side effect of that. If you take the chaining out of this, then maybe it would make killstreaks more acceptable. You know, they're trying to do this in, well, it's rumored that they're trying to do this in Black Ops, where instead of your killstreaks actually gaining kills towards your streaks, you take that aspect out, and now it's actually going to take skill to get to your customizable killstreaks.
Kills are spamming your other stuff.
Well, you're never going to be able to take spamming out of a game, but you can definitely take aspects out of it. And I think the biggest chaining problem and spamming problem exists in killstreaks. Perks, on the other hand, I think they're a fantastic idea. It definitely improves gameplay. And let's face it, we're in the age of customization when it comes to gaming. Everybody wants to choose how things work out. You know, this is perfectly seen in Call of Duty. If you want to play a game where you're an enforcer, you're in there straight up, you know, Juggernaut perk is perfect for that. You can take more damage. At the same time, there's stopping power. You want to inflict more damage. Maybe you don't want to be in there. You don't want to be in the fire fight that's going on. And like you said, there's other perks. And you can make your grenades a lot stronger. And it just allows the players to fool around with the gameplay and customize strategies and go from there. I think it's a great idea.
Yeah, I agree a lot with Adam in the aspect that of, like, the perks. They allow you to, I think they're great for a game because they allow you to kind of play to your own style. Like, some people, they're going to be like, I need a lot of ammo, or they're going to throw on Bandolier if they're playing Call of Duty. Some people are like, I want to be able to sneak around, stuff like that. Going to throw on Dead Silence. if anybody really throws on Dead Silence.
Well, who doesn't? I mean, Dead Silence, I don't even know why it's in there, but I mean, I can understand the concept behind it. Like, if you absolutely want to be sneaky and not be heard from your opponents, like, you technically could use Dead Silence. It's not a useless perk, it's just not used. But,
well, I mean, none of the perks in, let's say, Call of Duty 4 are actually useless besides Eavesdrop. Eavesdrop is just a complete waste.
Well, that's for Call of Duty 4, right?
Yeah.
So, and that was only a perk that was available on the PlayStation 3 and the Xbox.
And PC, I think.
Yeah.
And PC, because of voice chat. For anybody who's not aware, the Wii, yes, it does have Wii Speak, but it's not utilized in Call of Duty.
And before, Wii Speak sucks.
Yeah, yeah.
Wii Speak, and the server don't really allow for much.
But that's a whole different topic.
we'll cover that a different time.
Yeah, we'll definitely cover Wii Speak and servers. We'll do an entire topic related to the Wii.
Be a whole 3-hour podcast.
Yeah, well, I don't think there's 3 hours worth of complaints.
Oh, I'm sure we could get it done. But anyway, back to onto the topic that we're supposed to be talking about. How I feel about killstreaks. I kind of agree with you again, but like, I think they actually help a game more than hurt it, because obviously Call of Duty adding killstreaks, it's kind of caught on. Other games and developers are starting to do the same thing. You see that with the new Medal of Honor game coming out that gives you rewards for getting kills. Also, like, even in Halo, you don't actually get any, like, game-changing killstreaks, but you still get all those titles, and I like to think, like, people try to aim for that even more just because they want the little Kiltaculars, Kiltrocities, Kilimanjaros, that kind of stuff is, like, what people want.
So are the little titles, the killstreak titles in Halo, they don't do anything? They just tell you, like, pretty much how many kills you've gotten?
Pretty much. Yeah. I mean, it was something that was also seen, if I remember correctly, in the Conduit. Conduit, they didn't have any kill streaks, but if you got on, like, a streak of kills, and they had Rampage and Colossity, and the list goes on and on. But, you know what? In that aspect, I see your point. But those are challenges. Like, you're challenging yourself to do better. In my mind, I think that's completely different than having kill streaks. I think that it makes the game more competitive. And, like, at any time during the game, yeah, somebody could just throw out, you know, call the dogs in after 7 kills. It adds for a different challenge. It makes things interesting. It'll toss up, you know. It can change a game around within a minute. If you're losing and you get a helicopter, bam, you might be back into the game. But, however, I don't think that it necessarily has to be in there. But, well, I do agree with you saying that having kills, some sort of aspect of kill streaks as it being acknowledged, is a great idea. I think it's something that should even be maybe utilized more into the Call of Duty franchise.
I'd say it adds more, like, competitiveness to the game.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Because, I mean, long term, you're always thinking about, alright, we gotta get to the, let's say, 750 or on Modern Warfare 2, the 7,500 mark for points. But short term, you're thinking, I gotta get just this amount of kills, that'll help us out even more. So it's kind of like you're working as a team, but you're also working individually for yourself.
I see your point. See, I would rather have it to where have customizable kill streaks, but instead of you getting some kind of bonus from them, like it goes back to the roots of like the Halo where it'll say something. Only you have it say something to the people you're playing against. So have it say something along the lines of, you suck, give up. Or,
maybe not that far.
You're failing epically, it's time to stop playing.
Why would it say that to your teammates if you're the ones
getting... No. To the people you're playing against.
Oh.
I don't think people would like that. Wasn't there already, like, a fit over, like... Well, maybe that's not the best word, but a fit over Wii Fit. And, like, some girl thought... Like, she thought she was fat because of the game, even though, like, she wasn't.
That's,
and they ended up,
okay,
like, trying to
that's
sue.
Completely different. You're staying...
I don't know.
You're going to play... Like, it doesn't say that, like, you're fat. It says that you're overweight. There's a
no,
difference.
No, she wasn't, though. I forgot what it was, but it was, like, completely stupid and, like, just really bad. But, like, with something like the game directly telling you, you suck, that's just... not realistic.
No, but it's adding insult to injury. I mean,
you see Mortal Kombat really telling that to you.
If you really want to add insult to injury, they should go back to what they used to have in a game like Medal of Honor Heroes 2, where after you die, you see your body, and you're usually seeing yourself getting teabagged. That's what I think they need.
Well, you can still customize your killstreak thing to say you're getting teabagged. Like, they might not be able to see it. But I agree. I think going back to the roots, like, to where they have kind of like a kill cam or something like that would be... Like, I know they have it on other versions of the game, but that might be something that might want to be carried over onto the other consoles. I'd enjoy it. But... I mean, I think overall, killstreaks and perks aren't necessary. They do add different aspects to the game. And it's really a personal opinion on whether or not they're good or bad. My verdict, however, is that if you take the ability to chain killstreaks, I'm all for them. And perks are fantastic.
Yeah, perks are great.
There's something else I wanted to add about perks. It's like, for like some of them, it's like people tend to like stray away from certain ones because they think they're cheap. If you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But it's mainly, like I said before, and like the last topic, not everyone can be pleased with what they get from the game.
Well, we talked about that before when we were talking about console hopping. People are never going to be happy with what they have. A good example is if anybody ever goes onto any board on GameFAQs, you're always going to see people complaining about how cheap something is. Oh well, you killed me with a pistol. Pistols are cheap. How dare you use a pistol?
Those are usually jokes, though.
No. I've read some that were dead serious.
There are a lot that are serious. Like, I don't know if there's any about pistols or anything. But
I see your point. But my point is that people are always going to complain. They always find the worst in something.
Like, hey, you're using a silenced weapon. Silenced weapons are cheating or cheap.
Oh, you're using Juggernaut. Well, you use stopping power, so you're forcing me to use Juggernaut. It takes the whole aspirations of trying to... Like, it's a game where you're supposed to kill your opponent at any means necessary. I mean, if you're not sitting there noob-tubing somebody, then I don't care if you're using a P90 silenced or what have you. It still takes some sort of skill to play.
Well, talking about, like, kill streaks also, like, in the competitive environment, like game battles or something. It's like usually kill streaks are taken off anyway. Sometimes perks.
Not usually perks though.
I said sometimes.
Well,
I don't like the.
I think it's just so that way, like. I think most of the time it's turned off, so that way there's no unfair advantage.
And to
if you want to look at it like.
And to prevent chaining, which would just completely, like, break the whole system down.
Yeah, I think that's truly the main reason why most people avoid kill streaks in competitive play.
Yeah. It's like with competitive play, it's like you have to take stuff out to just make it competitive. Instead of just like leaving everything in and just playing that way.
Well, I think a lot of times developers put a lot of those extras in just to add a different, like, to allow the player more choices. Like, cage match in Call of Duty, I don't think anybody plays that. And if they, and if people do, there's not a lot. But it's there just so that way people have another experience. They have other options than just, you know, the ones that they would typically play. And it allows, if you have a bunch of people and you want to do something different in a private match, you have that option. That's what I think anyways.
I guess it makes sense.
But all right, so final thoughts? Yay or nay?
I'd have to.
Yeah, I'd say yay. Depending on the game.
All right, Rad.
I'm gonna say right now, I'm a big fan of the kill streaks in Call of Duty, but I'm gonna say yay to perks, nay to kill streaks.
If they take out the chaining, I'm yay for kill streaks, but for the time being, I'm nay and yay for perks. In recommendations this week, I went and saw Inception. If you like movies that are complex and keep you on the edge of your seat, then Inception is a must-see. The film stars Leonardo DiCaprio and Ellen Page. DiCaprio's character Cobb receives a job offer that can reconcile his past. The basic idea of the film is that people can enter the dreams of others. By doing this, they can extract information by dealing with the subconscious, or you can plant an idea. This is called Inception. Along the way, Cobb recruits a team consisting of architects and forgers of dreams. If you like The Dark Knight, then Inception will blow your mind. If you like what you hear and want more updates, reviews, and news, check out our blog at dpadnews.wordpress.com. This week you can check out Isaac's review on the Medal of Honor beta. And that wraps up this week. I'm Adam Ward.
I'm Kevin.
This is Isaac.
Stay frosty and milk.